Would Donald Trump Euro trademark S taxes on trade hurt U.S. consumers? Dot. Date modified colon 2024-10-14T2334-32.778Z. Description colon what could happen if Donald Trump drastically increases tariffs as he has promised to do? Comma dot. Would Donald Trump's taxes on trade hurt U.S. consumers? Reuters. Donald Trump has pledged to drastically increase tariffs on foreign goods entering the U.S. if he is elected president again. He has promised tariffs, a form of tax, of up to 20% on goods from other countries and 60% on all imports from China. He has even talked about a 200% tax on some imported cars. Tariffs are a central part of Trump's economic vision. He sees them as a way of growing the U.S. economy, protecting jobs, and raising tax revenue. He has claimed on the campaign trail that these taxes are not going to be a cost to you, it's a cost to another country. This is almost universally regarded by economists as misleading. How do tariffs work? In practical terms, a tariff is a domestic tax levied on goods as they enter the country, proportional to the value of the import. So a car imported to the U.S. with a value of $50,000, £38,000, subject to a 10% tariff, would face a $5,000 charge. The charge is physically paid by the domestic company that imports the goods, not the foreign company that exports them. So, in that sense, it is a straightforward tax paid by domestic U.S. firms to the U.S. government. Over the course of 2023, the U.S. imported around $3.1 billion of goods, equivalent to around 11% of U.S. GDP, and tariffs imposed on those imports brought in $80 billion in that year, around 2% of total U.S. tax revenues. The question of where the final economic burden of tariffs falls, as opposed to the upfront bill, is more complicated. If the U.S. importing firm passes on the cost of the tariff to the person buying the product in the U.S. in the form of higher retail prices, it would be the U.S. consumer that bears the economic burden. If the U.S. importing firm absorbs the cost of the tariff itself and doesn't pass it on, then that firm is said to bear the economic burden in the form of lower profits than it would otherwise have enjoyed. Alternatively, it is possible that foreign exporters might have to lower their wholesale prices by the value of the tariff in order to retain their U.S. customers. In that scenario, the exporting firm would bear the economic burden of the tariff in the form of lower profits. All three scenarios are theoretically possible. But economic studies of the impact of the new tariffs that Trump imposed in his first term of office between 2017 and 2020 suggest most of the economic burden was ultimately borne by U.S. consumers. A survey by the University of Chicago in September 2024 asked a group of respected economists whether they agreed with the statement that imposing tariffs results in a substantial portion of the tariffs being borne by consumers of the country that enacts the tariffs, through price increases. Only 2% disagreed, raising prices. Let us use a concrete example. Trump imposed a 50% tariff on imports of washing machines in 2018. Researchers estimate the value of washing machines jumped by around 12% as a direct consequence, equivalent to $86 per unit, and that U.S. consumers paid around $1.5 billion extra a year in total for these products. There is no reason to believe the results of even higher import tariffs from a future Trump administration would be any different in terms of where the economic burden would fall. The nonpartisan Peterson Institute for International Economics has estimated Trump's new proposed tariffs would lower the incomes of Americans, with the impact ranging from around 4% for the poorest fifth to around 2% for the wealthiest fifth. A typical household in the middle of the U.S. income distribution, the think tank estimates, would lose around $1,700 each year. The left-of-center think tank Center for American Progress, using a different methodology, has an estimate of a $2,500 to $3,900 loss for a middle-income family. Various researchers have also warned that another major round of tariffs from the U.S. would risk another spike in domestic inflation, impact on jobs, yet Trump has used another economic justification for his tariffs: that they protect and create U.S. domestic jobs. Under my plan, American workers will no longer be worried about losing your jobs to foreign nations. Instead, foreign nations will be worried about losing their jobs to America, he said on the campaign trail. The political context for Trump's tariffs was long-standing concern about the loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs to countries with lower labor costs, particularly after the signing of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, with Mexico in 1994 and the entry of China into the World Trade Organization in 2001. In January 1994, when NAFTA came into effect, the U.S. had just under 17 million manufacturing jobs. By 2016, this had declined to around 12 million. Yet economists say it is misleading to attribute this decline to trade, arguing that growing levels of automation are also an important factor. And researchers who studied the impact of Trump's first-term tariffs found no substantial positive effects on overall employment in U.S. industrial sectors that were protected. Trump imposed 25% tariffs on imported steel in 2018 to protect U.S. producers. By 2020, total employment in the U.S. steel sector was 80,000, still lower than the 84,000 it had been in 2018. It is theoretically possible that employment might have dropped even further without the Trump steel tariffs, but detailed economic studies of their impact on U.S. steel still showed no positive employment impact. And economists have also found evidence suggesting that, because the domestic price of steel rose after the tariffs were imposed, employment in some other U.S. manufacturing sectors, which relied on steel as an input, including the agricultural machinery manufacturer Deere & Co., was lower than it otherwise would have been. Impact on trade deficit. Trump has criticized America's trade deficit, which is the difference between the value of all the things the country imports and the value of its exports in a given year. Trade deficits hurt the economy very badly, he has said. In 2016, just before Trump took office, the total goods and services deficit was $480 billion, around 2.5% of U.S. GDP. By 2020, it had grown to $653 billion, around 3% of GDP, despite his tariffs. Part of the explanation, according to economists, is that Trump's tariffs increased the international relative value of the U.S. dollar, by automatically reducing demand for foreign currencies in international trade, and that this made the products of U.S. exporters less competitive globally. Another factor behind this failure to close the trade deficit is the fact that tariffs, in a globalized economy with multinational companies, can sometimes be bypassed. For example, the Trump administration imposed 30% tariffs on Chinese imported solar panels in 2018. The U.S. Commerce Department presented evidence in 2023 that Chinese solar panel manufacturers had shifted their assembly operations to countries such as Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam, and then sent the finished products to the U.S. from those countries, effectively evading the tariffs. There are some economists who support Trump's tariff plans as a way to boost U.S. industry, such as Jeff Ferry of the Coalition for a Prosperous America, a domestic lobby group, but they are a small minority of the profession. Orrin Cass, the director of the conservative think tank American Compass, has argued tariffs can incentivize firms to keep more of their manufacturing operations in America, which he argues has national defense and supply chain security benefits. And the Biden/Harris administration, while sharply criticizing Trump's proposed extension of tariffs, has kept in place many of the ones he implemented after 2018. It has also imposed new tariffs on imports of things like electric vehicles from China, justifying them on the grounds of national security, U.S. industrial policy and unfair domestic subsidies from Beijing. What do you want BBC Verify to investigate? Tax Trump tariffs U.S. election 2024. Donald Trump, watch, Trump sidesteps question on Putin phone calls. When asked if he'd spoken to Putin since leaving office, the former U.S. president said, "If I did, it's a smart thing. 2 days ago world, only choice I got, early voting starts in swing state Georgia." The BBC's Nada Tawfik reports from the battleground state, where officials say record numbers turned out to cast their ballots. 2 days ago U.S. and Canada, sparks fly in question time U.S. election special. Politicians and pundits were quizzed by the BBC's Fiona Bruce and American voters in Pennsylvania. 7 days ago, US and Canada, Ross Atkins on unanswered questions as Trump returns to where he was shot. The BBC's analysis editor examines the security failures that led to the former president being shot at during a rally in July. October 4, 2024 BBC Verify, fake Kamala Harris ad used AI voice and UK department store advert. BBC Verify analyzed a false post claiming to show a pro-abortion campaign ad that has widely circulated on social media. October 4, 2024 US and Canada, US election, The View from Mexico, BBC Monitoring's Luis Fajardo looks at how the Mexican media has been reporting on US elections. October 3, 2024 Latin America, US election, The View from Mexico, BBC Monitoring's Luis Fajardo looks at how the Mexican media has been reporting on US elections. October 2, 2024 Latin America, Watch, Human Emotion and Kindness Shown Through in the Debate. The BBC's North America correspondent Anthony Zurcher says the vice presidential candidates found common ground. October 2, 2024 US and Canada, Watch, Who Do You Think Won the VP Debate? The BBC asks college students what they thought of J.D. Vance and Tim Walz's debate performance. October 2, 2024 US and Canada, Watch Key Moments from the US Vice Presidential Debate, Politeness, Policy, and a Few Tense Moments, Watch How Vance and Walz Tackled the 90-Minute Event. October 2, 2024 US and Canada, Walz on Tiananmen Claim, I'm a knucklehead at times, when questioned about saying he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre, Walz says he misspoke. October 2, 2024, Watch, Mike's muted over Vance's Springfield migrant claim. It comes after Vance was fact-checked on a statement about millions of illegal immigrants. October 2, 2024, Vance v. Walz, BBC Verify looks at the claims that could come up. The two U.S. vice presidential candidates will face each other in a debate that the BBC will be fact-checking. October 1, 2024 U.S. and Canada, J.D. Vance's journey from Trump critic to VP pick. The Ohio senator once said he would never vote for Donald Trump, but is now his running mate. September 30, 2024 US and Canada, Who is Tim Walz? The ex-football coach who is now a VP hopeful, the Minnesota governor is a veteran, former teacher, and football coach and spent more than a decade in Congress. September 30, 2024 US and Canada, BBC asks Trump what he would do differently in the Middle East. The former president says the conflict in Lebanon is unacceptable and must end one way or the other. September 26, 2024 World, Ross Atkins on. Why the U.S. election is crucial to Ukraine, the BBC's analysis editor looks at why Volodymyr Zelensky is presenting his victory plan to U.S. political leaders. September 26, 2024 World, Harris and Oprah hold star-studded rally in Michigan. The vice president joined the television icon in one of the seven crucial battleground states.